Thomas Cromwell has sent lawyer detective Shard Leake to investigate the murder of a King's commissioner in a monastery on the south coast. Two more deaths have further muddied the case. Returning to his room in search of his assistant, Shard Leake finds it empty, though he can hear Mark's voice.
It appeared St. Donatus held more mysteries. There was Mark's voice again, muffled. The cupboard had been pulled out from the wall. I hauled it out further. There was a door in the wall.
Mark!
Open it, sir. Quick. You may come back.
Who? I can't.
Man who spies on us. Pull it.
I'm trying.
Thank you. It's a great long tunnel.
Stay behind me. Watch your feet.
Don't let the candle go out.
How did you find it?
I came into the room and I got that feeling again of being watched. I heard a noise. It came from the wall. I pulled out the cupboard and there was the door. That spy hole was cut in the panelling. Mm.
For a clear view of our room.
We went down the damp, mushroom-infested passageway and came out behind another cupboard in the corridor by the kitchen. Then we crept back.
I'm glad to be out of that place. Sir, why are you staying in there?
I saw something catch the light on the ground. There is something.
What is it?
God's death. Gabriel.
I wanted to stand guard at the church door, Mark. Let no one in while I speak to him.
Just call, sir, if you need me.
Ah, Brother Gabriel.
Are you here to harangue me again?
No, I'm not.
To complete your false picture?
The one thing haranguing lawyers develop is an instinct as to when people are holding things back. We are seldom wrong. Let me put a set of suppositions to you, and you can correct me as we proceed. Is that fair?
I do not know what this trick is.
No trick, I promise. I think you found the old passage that leads from the infirmary to the kitchen quarters. I think you went in there and bored a hole into what is now our room. The cook told me you had been lurking around the kitchen, where I now know the entrance to the passage is.
I know nothing of this.
No? Well, Mark and I found the door and the spy hole. And under the spy hole, on the floor, I found something glistening in the candlelight. And I realized that the man who had been looking at us had not been out to spy. He had a different purpose. I found your seed. You have a love of young men, Brother Gabriel. It must consume you utterly if you go to such lengths to watch Mark Poor dressing in the morning.
It is true. Jesus, forgive me. Please, don't tell the boy.
Then you have to tell me what you have been concealing. That passageway is a secret way into the kitchen where my predecessor was murdered.
I conceal nothing. I confess, God forgive me, what I have been doing.
Tell me what you have been holding back.
Nothing. My shame was my secret. That's the only reason I used the passage. I only wanted to look. Jesus, help me.
God's death, you have led me a dance. I thought you the killer.
I beg you, sir, do not use what I have done. Do not let my sins cause the end of Scansey.
Such solitary vice is not even enough to justify prosecuting you. If this house closes, it will be for other reasons.
Look out!
Brother Gabriel saved my life but lost his. He shoved me violently in the chest and I fell backwards. Then, from above, a great figure of stone landed where I'd been standing and smashed Gabriel to the earth.
Get away from the wall!
I did as Mark said. Just as the plinth the statue had stood on plummeted 50 feet and hit the ground where I lay.
Up there, there's a man on the walkway.
We took the stairs on either side of the rude screen and climbed towards the roof. The stairs led onto a narrow platform running around the interior of the church. It was no more than 3 feet wide, and only an iron rail separated me from the drop.
Can you see him?
No.
There's no other way down.
It's so dark up here.
Sir, the statue.
Behind me, one of the statues moved, and the figure of a man in a Benedictine habit clambered away over the rail and onto the walkway.
Stop!
Don't let him get away!
But he was gone. I gathered the senior obedientiaries. They all could account for themselves. Brother Guy was studying alone in his dispensary. Prior Mortimus had been alone in his office. Brother Edwig said two assistants would verify he'd been in the counting house, and Abbot Fabian had been giving his steward instructions.
Sir, I thought you knew Gabriel was the killer.
I was mistaken. He had no secrets after all.
No one knew we were going into the church.
And where we stopped was an accident.
So the killer just took the opportunity?
Maybe. Listen, I'm going to London with the sword and to report to Lord Cromwell.
We're snowed in, sir.
The gatekeeper tells me that boats go through the channel, in the marsh, and out to the open sea. I will journey that way. I want you to go to Justice Coppinger and see if he confirms the wrongdoings over land sales. And, Mark, while I'm gone, I want you to move to the Abbot's house.
You want me away from Alice?
I want you safe away from the precincts. And yes, I have spoken to her. I have told her that involvement with you could damage your prospects.
You have no right, sir. I have the right to decide my own path.
No, Mark, you do not. You have obligations to your family and your future. I'm ordering you to move to the Abbot's house.
I have seen you look lustfully after Alice.
I control myself.
You have no choice.
I should kick you out on the road for that. Are you going to do as I say?
I will do all I can to help you catch the man who has killed these people.
I travelled north over leaden waves. After 2 nights at sea, the great spire of St. Paul's and the huddle of 10,000 white-covered roofs came into view. I knew the tower armourer, Old Noll. I laid the sword before him.
Where'd you get this, Master Shardlake?
In a monastery fish pond. Do you know who made it?
Yes. He's been dead these 18 months. J.S. John Smeaton. Mark Smeaton's father.
God's flesh.
He'd have made this sword to gain entry to the guild. 1507. That'd be about right.
He was a sword maker here in London?
He had a small works over at Whitechapel.
And he died?
He had a seizure 2 days after his son's execution.
I need to find out who the sword passed to.
He lived above the shop. The new owners will be there.
I will go there. After I see Lord Cromwell.
I had expected to hear from you sooner. 9 days. And the business isn't settled yet, I can tell by your look. God's blood, do you wear a weapon in my presence?
No, my lord. It is a piece of evidence.
I laid the sword on the table and told him all that had happened. The deaths of Simon and Gabriel, the discovery of Orphan Stonegarden's body, the abbot's offer of surrender, and my suspicions about the land sales, and finally, Brother Jerome's letter, which I passed to him.
These deaths unsolved worry me. They must not come out now. I don't want my other negotiations upset. Lewis Priory is about to surrender.
Oh, they are giving in?
The surrender will be signed this week. Norfolk and I are going to divide their lands between us. The king has agreed in principle.
That must be a goodly parcel, sir.
You seek to distract me. Mark Smeaton. I didn't think he was one to cause trouble from beyond the grave.
There must be a connection between the killings and Smeaton.
I can see one. A connection to Singleton's death, anyway. Revenge. This is not to be repeated to anyone.
On my honour.
When the king turned against Anne Boleyn last year, I had to act quickly. I'd been associated with her from the beginning, and the papist faction would have worked my fall with hers. The king was starting to listen to them, so it had to be me that rid the king of her. Do you see?
Yes, I see.
I persuaded him she was adulterous, and that meant she could be executed for treason without her religion coming into it. But there would have to be evidence and a public trial, alleging the queen had bedded with someone of humble origins would be particularly shocking to the public. I took some of my most trusted men and assigned to each a friend of hers whom I had chosen. Norris, Weston, Brereton, her brother, Rochford, and Smeaton. Their task was to get either a confession or something that could be made to look like evidence that they had lain with her. I assigned Singleton to deal with Mark Smeaton.
He made up a case against him.
Smeaton looked to be the easiest one to force into a confession. He was just a boy. Singleton called him a silly creature, a lamb to be led to the slaughter. So it proved. He confessed to adultery after a session on the Tower Rack. The same one I used on that Carthusian, Jerome, who indeed must have met him because all he reported Smeaton saying was true. One of the visitors the Carthusian saw coming to the cell that night would have been Singleton himself. I sent him to make sure that, in his speech from the scaffold, the boy did not retract his confession.
So, what people said was true? Queen Anne and those accused with her were innocent?
Of course they were innocent. No one may say so, but the whole world knows it. The juries at the trial knew. Even the king half knew, though he couldn't admit it to himself and irk his fine conscience.
I believe the charges were true. So many times I have said so.
Best to do what most people did on that subject and keep a closed mouth.
Perhaps I did know, deep down. In some part of me, God has not reached.
You are irritating me now.
Singleton was killed for revenge. Someone killed him in the same manner Anne Boleyn was executed. Smeaton had two visitors, as well as the priest. Singleton was one. Who was the other?
I'll have Singleton's case papers looked at. See what they say about Smeaton's family.
Yes, my lord.
And Matthew, make sure you find the murderer. I have kept this from the king too long. When I tell him, I must have the killer's name to give him. And don't fail me this time. I have it in my power to build up a lawyer's business, but I can also ruin it.